The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody. How you doing out there? It's me, Matt Slick, and you're listening to Matt Slick Live. It is, let's see, March 18th. 2021. Why don't you give me a call and we can blab. We got all kinds of topics and things if you're interested in, we can blab on. All right, now, I was just rushing, which I'm a little bit out of breath here just for a moment. I released an article today, literally 15 minutes ago. And yeah, there it is. So, that's why. Okay. Yeah, it's, hey, Chuck, it's, carm.org/government/contact government. So we talked on the radio yesterday for some politics stuff, and I started working on a page. So let's see what would happen if we just did this. I should just come up to where do we do that? There we go. Well, I'm testing the site, testing the article. So anyway, I believe that as Christians, what we're supposed to be doing is be involved in politics. That doesn't mean, you know, chanting and rioting. No. But people have asked me on the radio how to contact people. And so I started doing the research today. And what I'm going to do is, look at that. It's not working right. Yeah, the outline feature on the site is hosed. We got the web guy working on it. Anyway, don't worry about that. But if you're interested, just go to, I believe, the URL will simply be carm.org/, let me test it out on a different browser, contact-government. So /contact-government, and hopefully it'll bring you to, yep, it does. And it'll bring you to this article I released, Elected Officials and Federal and State Contact Information. And so I have four articles about Christianity and government, and then federal elected officials. There's links. They open up to new windows. There's phone numbers. Locate your U.S. senators, your U.S. representatives' website. I got different ways of doing things and linking them in there. And also, I'm going to continue to do this, but I think it's worth it to go down to every state, out of Alabama, and then I've done Alaska, where we find the website for each of the state representatives, as in the Alabama state website, and who the governor is, and contact information, how to find your congressmen and senators, how to find elected officials, and whatever relative information I could find. So I've spent time going through those websites and putting them up there. And so I was hoping this might be helpful. As I said yesterday, this is important. All areas of our life, all areas are under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This means politics. This means government. It means the media. It means newspapers. It means schools. It means everything. Church is not just something we do on Sunday and then we go out into the world and hope that people don't frown at us. Nope. That's the opposite attitude we're, what we're supposed to have. We go to church to be equipped. We go to church to fellowship, to be corrected, and to be equipped for the work of ministry. Ephesians 4, 8 through 11 talks about this. And so our job is to make disciples of all nations, of all people. That's what our job as a Christian is. As Jesus says, I think it's Luke 14:28, you know, you got to pick up your cross. I don't know if that's the right verse. I'll find it. Pick up your cross daily and come after me. And if you don't pick up your cross, you're not worthy of him. And that's what it says, Luke 9:23. This is what Jesus says. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. This is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus says. And so, as Christians, we're not called to be mamby-pamby pew sitters. We're called to be lights in the world, spokesmen of the truth. We're called to be forthright, to be honest, to be examples of integrity. This is what we're called to do. And, of course, there's going to be persecution. that's just how it is. We've been blessed here in America, and this is kind of an anomaly. It's an exception in that our Christianity here has been tolerated and even promoted through most of the country's history. Now it's the opposite. It's flipped. So now it's becoming normative like the rest of the world throughout history, where Christians are persecuted for just simply being Christians. So what is our duty as Christians? Well, our duty is to obey government, Romans 13, but also disobey government whenever the government contradicts Scripture. And this is the obligation of every Christian. So if you go to karma.org/contact-government, you'll see that that's the article there. And it's called Elected Officials and Federal and State Contact Information. And I'm going to be expanding this. And if you guys have any suggestions, have any information that might be worth putting in there, I can put these links in there. And the reason I'm doing this is because, you know, someone called yesterday and said, well, what do we do? Who do we contact? How do we contact? And I thought, you know what? I'm going to do the research to see if I can find out where, who, what, when, and all that stuff. So I believe in doing. I believe in reacting and doing and also being preemptive in our walk with Christ in all areas of life. Now, I'm unusual. When there's a Jehovah's Witness convention, I will go out there with signs. When there's a Mormon gathering, I'll go out there with signs. Do the website, do the radio. Yeah, that's just me. You know, don't compare yourself to me. What you need to do is ask God, what does He want you to do? What does He want you to do? And then check things out. Because if you can contact your elected officials, that reminds me, I was talking to my wife. I have an idea. Those can make people mad. But what if we all, Christians, you know, were to mail a little bitty rock, you know, nothing big, just an ounce or so, to our elected officials. Say, hey, this is what we want, a little box, a little rock, whatever, and you just mail it to them and say, this is my vote for whatever. You know, they'd notice. What if we were all doing that kind of a thing, you know, objects that we would mail or little something, you know? But they got to check things out, and it would be annoying. But hey, you know what? The left does stuff that's annoying all the time, and I do believe that we as Christians can act and should be politely, biblically aggressive in our pushing forth of the kingdom of God, and that we should resist evil and resist what's happening in our country. This is unfortunate, but it's a necessity. And let me just say that if things continue where they are, we're going to lose more and more of our freedoms. We are going to lose more and more of our freedoms. It's already happening. There's a process of change called thesis antithesis. So there's a body, a culture, a society, and they have certain amounts of freedoms and rights. Then a crisis comes up, and they use the crisis to strip away your rights and give them more power. This is how it works, period. They use any and all crises to increase their own power while stripping away yours. This is what totalitarianism is. This is what it means to be run by an oligarchy. And this is what's happening. So, you know, when there's a shooting, they want to take away our gun rights. They want to remove our rights, and they want to increase the federal government's rights and power. There's a study that was done, and I've got to find that article. I don't know where it was. I read it a while back, a few months ago, maybe last year, 2 years ago, where people in power, there's an actual physiological change that occurs in the brain. There's a physical change in the brain, and they become a little empowered with the idea of power, which I've been thinking for a long time. The DSM, the manual that defines mental illnesses, that there should be a category in there for a lot of people. I know we're in government. I mean, you know, oh, man. And so there should be, I think they're, well, I'm going to say some stuff, but I don't have a high opinion of them, because I know what righteousness is. I know what the Bible says. I know what things used to be like. And I know what the government is doing. I know what the state officials are doing with their power. I know that, this idea of wearing masks, even though the mask mandate isn't necessary anymore, at all. It's not. And yet now they're saying, oh, you wear it out of respect. In other words, as I mentioned yesterday, there's a cult mentality that goes along with this. So let me back up and explain what I mean by cult mentality. I've studied cults off and on for 40 years, okay, 41 years. And some of the characteristics of cults are mind control and behavior control. The way they get to your behavior control is to change your attitude about certain things. And so in a cult, like Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, what you'll have is a central place of authority, a centralized authoritative structure that from on high will disseminate to the adherents what they ought to believe and how they ought to act. Cults, they want you to have freedom to some degree, because if you're just slaves, no one's going to go with it. So what they try and do is carefully control your thinking and your behavior. How they do this? Through inculcation. To inculcate means to teach by repetition. And so in these great, oh, not these great, but in these cult groups and groups like them, and they can use the same mentality for herd behavior in a society where a government can be the power on high that then disseminates what ought to be believed, and then your behavior has to follow what they tell you to believe. Now, there's good in that and there's bad in that. You know, should we pay taxes? Well, yeah, we should pay taxes. The Bible talks about that, and we should. We need the government to maintain roads and provide protection with a military and infrastructure. No problem, okay? And we ought to, and we should not rebel against that. Unless it's exorbitant and stuff, but, you know, and it's not. Well, that's another opinion. And so, take the COVID thing. Well, the initial idea was to stop this virus from spreading. And so they used, this idea of masks, wear masks, stand 6 feet apart. And quickly, everybody submitted to this. Everybody did. Why? Because, well, we didn't know what the level of the infectious rate was of the COVID. And so after just a few weeks, actually a couple of months, you know, I was doing research, I started finding out, wait a minute, basically the masks really don't do much of anything. But yet, we're still told to wear them and still told to be at certain distances. Social distancing now is a common term. Wear your mask, do this stuff. And now that the evidence is coming out that the masks aren't really that helpful, they are to a degree, but not really that helpful. With the comparison between Florida and what was it? What other state? It was New York, I think. Where Florida basically very loose mask rules and the other state very heavy, and it was no a difference in the amount of COVID cases between them per capita. There's evidence like this out there. So you'd think they'd say, oh, well, okay, now we've learned stuff. We don't need to wear the masks anymore, and the social distancing thing is ridiculous. We don't need to do it anymore. No, they say, now wear them out of respect. In other words, they want you to continue to wear them and be submitted to the authority at large. Let me tell you, folks, as Christians, our submission is to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to obey the civil government when necessary, and we're to disobey the government when necessary. And you can go to CARM, and you can look up the article, When to Obey and Disobey Civil Authorities. And you can see, I'm not advocating disobedience. I'm saying when they promote that which is ungodly, we're not obligated to follow what they say. We should learn to think for ourselves and not be led around like sheeple. Okay, there's my opening statement. Give me a call. 5 open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have 4 open lines. Why don't you give me a call and we can talk? Maybe I upset you. Maybe I went in the direction you're going. Yes, who knows? But this is part of biblical theology, to deal with these kinds of topics. And I prefer theology, but sometimes it's necessary to get in other areas as well, since all areas of life are under the purview and the lordship of Jesus Christ, and we Christians need to start acting like it. 4 open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Kay from California. Kay, welcome. You're on the air. I hit the button. Okay. 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 I don't hear
you. Hello?
Okay, there you go. Now I hear you. Okay. So what do you got? Are you there? Maybe we got a problem. All right. Oh, we lost her. All right, we got another call coming in. If you want to give me a call, folks, 877-207-2276. We have 4 open lines. I just want to remind you that we are planning a trip to Israel next year, a year from this month. And if you're interested in attending, all you got to do is go to Carm Israel, C-A-R-M Israel, one word, and you can check it out. We're going to be going. Oh, man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so if you want to go check it out. Okay, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get back to Kay. Are you there?
Hi, Matt. It's Kay from yesterday. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I called in yesterday about the mask, like I said before, how it's really just for dehumanizing and, you know, just making people turn against each other. And I've had an issue on how to approach my pastor about it in the church. Just trying to see how I'd go about doing that, how to convince my pastor and through scripture that, you know, we're to have faith over fear, and how to combat some of the some objections people might have in the church.
Wow. That's interesting. You're making me think about writing an article on that. Okay, so anyway, what you should be doing first is praying and asking God to give you wisdom at the right time and go to talk about it, things like that. And that's what you got to do. And then get some documentation or something ready. You can have, which I recommend, you go to Amazon and get Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns. There's part one and part two. Incidentally, these two booklets, they're really small, were banned by Amazon, and the author put up a post or something about it on Twitter, and then Elon Musk found out about it and complained or did something, and then Amazon put it back up to let it be released. So I've read both of them, and it goes in and it documents some of the issues about the lack of the information that we're receiving from the general news media is not that accurate. Let's put it that way. And so there's documentation there. And that's one of the things you can just have ready. Here's these two documents. You can say you've read them or not. You can say here's this or here's that. But maybe I'll have to write a summation of them. You know, it's always easier if someone, I can just say, hey, go to this article I've written, extracted the information, etc. But so go to him and ask him about that. Ask him if he's afraid or is he willing to, or what does he think about the idea of speaking about politics from the pulpit. And if he says, mentions at all, separation of church and state, that's a very serious problem. Because a separation of church and state originally meant that the state could not create a religion, a state religion. That's what it meant. It does not mean that we can't influence the government based on our religious principles. So if he in any way says state separates the church and state stuff, he's not comfortable doing that from the pulpit, then you pray that the Lord would speak to his heart about that and correct him on his error. Because every single pastor should be willing to speak on the issue of politics and name names from the pulpit. And if they say, well, we'll lose our 501c3, then what you're saying is, if you lose your 501c3, then the money issue before the government is controlling what you preach out of the Word of God. And that would be, of course, a very serious problem. So I say that they're supposed to just do what they're supposed to do and preach and teach. Doesn't mean you make it a political thing all the time. Not at all. It's just that if it comes up in Scripture, then we should talk, the preacher should talk about that issue. He should not gloss over things. And if there is a political thing going on, like socialism, the pastors should study socialism and study biblical forms of government and then do a sermon on it. Hey, folks, this is what's happening in our country, but let's get what the Bible says, because there are times to deal with current events from the pulpit. What if, hypothetically, let's say 9/11, you know, when the Twin Towers were attacked, would it be appropriate for a pastor at that point, the next Sunday, would it be appropriate for him to preach a sermon related to this kind of thing about Islam and terror and our trust in Christ? Of course it would be. It's also appropriate to deal with the issue of why Christians should not be voting for people who are pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, and pro-pornography. These things are ungodly and are very much against Scripture. And so we should be standing strong, particularly as men. You know, 1 Corinthians 16:13, be strong, act like men. And this is what the Bible says, that we're to do this and not be so worried about what the government's going to say or our neighbor's going to say, because the brown shirts are always going to be there. The brown shirts were a Nazi group that turned people in. And we're always going to have this kind of a thing. And I can also tell you that as I've been reading through a book on Nazi Germany, comparing it with what's happening now, there are similarities. And the Nazism was a socialist party. And it gained power and then restricted the power of others so that dissenting opinions were not allowed anymore. And they sought to undermine and to quiet or censor conservative views. This is what Nazi Germany did as it was rising to power. And then once it got in power, it jailed and punished those people who were conservatives who dared speak up. Now, they killed people. And I don't think that would happen here. But I think that the leftists could use all kinds of forms of persecution, particularly since so many of them are saying that white conservatives, particularly white males or white supremacists, are guilty of just white terrorism just because they're white. This kind of stuff is going on, and the leftist media is talking about ways to get rid of Fox News and other conservative groups and have people kicked off the air because they're conservative. This is the same kind of stuff that in similar fashion was occurring in Nazi Germany. And so we need to stand up. The Christians, we can't just wait for the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus coming back before the tribulation so that we're all in comfort and we get to go to heaven, everything's fine. That's not, don't look to that. Look to our Lord God as the sovereign king over all things, and then stand up inside the kingdom where we are now, because Jesus is king. He has three offices: prophet, priest, and king. And so the evil ones will be taken out of his kingdom. That's what it says when he returns. And that's Matthew 13, 30 through 41. You should read that stuff. And we Christians need to stand up for righteousness. I got a break coming up. Sorry, Kay, but talking so long. Hold on, okay? We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Three open lines, give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, Kay, welcome. You're back on the air. Are you there? Hello?
Oh, yes, hello.
Okay. All right, so you called about something, and then I went on a bit of a rant, which happens sometimes. So,
no, I'm completely aware about the socialism, and no rant. It's actually just it's something that the church needs to hear. And so my issue is, because I have to go back to work actually real quick. The objections that I get, and really, it's kind of stressful and sad because, like I said, I'm pretty much the only person that feels like this, and I've been to many churches, and it seems like no one really, the worst thing for me is not only the people that are ignorant on the matter, but the ones that are knowledgeable, and yet they feel that the best thing they can do is nothing. And here are the main three objections. I'm going to name them off real quick, so if you can have an answer for each one, that'd be awesome. The first one I get is, the Bible says that things are going to get worse anyway. So why are we making such a big deal out of this situation right now?
Let me answer that one first. Okay. The Bible says things are getting worse, so why resist evil? In other words, let evil prosper. The Christians who are told to fight against evil then use that as an excuse to do nothing, which is sinful. They're using what God has ordained as a means for their own sin and rebel against God. That's what they're doing. Okay, the Bible says, go out and make disciples of all nations. Are they doing that? Even though things are going to be getting worse, does it mean we don't go out and make disciples now? Is that what it means? They disobey God. Christians are disobeying him with this excuse. Let's not do anything. It's going to, you know, it's going to get worse anyway, so why try? Well, you know, the flood's coming towards my house. Hey, why bother? I'll just let it flood the house. I'm not going to work against it. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what's and the second then one? Another popular one is this is political, and it's taking away from the gospel. When you talk about these things, just focus on the gospel, and everything else should straighten out.
Well, theoretically, that makes sense. Are they focusing on the gospel? What does it mean to focus on the gospel? What does it mean? Are they going out door to door with the gospel? Are they buying time on radio shows to preach the gospel? Are they putting ads in newspapers for the gospel? Are they tithing for missionaries for the gospel? Or are they just sitting there in their armchairs and saying, hey, let the gospel work itself out, and then go watch a football game? Is it another excuse to do nothing? Just focus on the gospel, but don't do anything. I hear this kind of thing a lot. Christians are, unfortunately, you know, we're sinners, and we like to be comfortable and take care of our families, and I get that, and I'm for that. But we have to realize, you know, that we're supposed to pick up the cross and follow after Jesus. That's what he commanded us to do, and that's what we're obligated to do. And so that means preaching the gospel. And he says, you know, pick up your cross and follow after me daily. Luke 9:23. Well, if that's, you know, they say let the gospel just go forward, then pack up your words if that's your thing. But what does it mean for that individual person who says it? Sit and do nothing or preach that gospel? I went to the dentist today and had my teeth cleaned. And I always look for an opportunity to speak about the Lord. I always do, and I did today. And the hygienist copied some information down. When I go to the gym, I will sometimes wear a shirt. You know, it says truth, and it's a cross next to it. I've had people approach me and say, what about this? When I go to the grocery store, I listen, not by eavesdropping, you know, gossipy, but I listen for people's conversations to see if I can have a conversation about the Lord with them. In fact, we went out, my wife and I went out a couple of days ago, 3 days ago, to my daughter's thing, and she was waiting for me to park the car, and she overheard a guy on a phone talking about the Lord. And when I got to her, she goes, hey, that guy was talking about ministry. And we talked for about 10 minutes. Because, you know, she's listening, I'm listening. What does it mean to live and preach that gospel as a Christian? It doesn't mean just going on Sunday mornings and then you're safe and then you go get served at a restaurant. No, it means that you look for opportunities. And if you don't have the means of looking for opportunities, maybe you're just not very good at speaking up. And maybe you don't have the gift of being annoying like I do. And you're just not so sure. Well, then what you do is you tithe and you support ministries that do it. And you pray for the ministries. This is what it means to do something. And not just this, oh, don't worry about politics. It'll take care of itself. Just do the gospel. That's an excuse, because the Bible tells us to be involved in politics and to obey government in Romans 13, but also disobey when it contradicts Scripture. So the people who say that are just, you know, I mean this in a kind way, but just not real knowledgeable about the issue biblically. Okay?
Okay. And then the third one, and then I have to go. The sure. third one is, like I said before yesterday, it's out of respect. Not everyone agrees with you on this mask thing, and it's kind of disrespectful to make them feel bad for wearing masks. You know, just let live and let live. Okay. Don't be disrespectful like that. There are some weak and there's some strong. So just leave it alone.
Well, I gotta say, here's the theological term I would use for that. Wah. So what they're saying is, you don't disrespect me. I might get offended by don't hurt my feelings. Look, you know, the cross is heavy. The cross has splinters. The cross is bloody. The thing we're to pick up and take. And if people are going to say, well, it's disrespectful to actually say things about the masks and actually require that I do something. So, you know, I get so sick and tired of the Christians who look for excuses not to do anything in the world. Don't look for excuses not to do. Look for excuses to do. In fact, I'm nothing spiritual, but I'm 64 years old. I've been doing this for 41 years. I went to bed praying last night. I woke up praying. In the middle of the night, I woke up. I was praying. I'm asking God, Lord, use me more. I want to be used even more and more. Let me preach. Let me teach, Lord. I'm a failure in so many ways, but use me. This is what should be in our hearts of all Christians. Lord Jesus, you saved me. You saved me from my sins. Send me. If it means mom being at home, staying home, raising children for the glory of God, then that's what you're called to do. If it means something else, then do whatever it is. Being a mechanic for Jesus, or being a doctor for Jesus, or radio, or write books, or just donating and supporting ministries. So this is the idea. And this thing about don't, you know, be respectful about the thing. I'm not going to be, you know, if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. Go ahead, wear a mask. I'm not going to go up to you and say, don't wear a mask. You want to wear it? You want to wear it. But don't complain when the government starts taking more and more of your rights away and the Christians start having less and less rights, because people will just comply with whatever Big Brother says for them to do. This is what something you got to be careful about. If you really believe masks stop COVID, then you should wear it. You're obligated to do that. Now, me, I've had COVID. I had it. My wife had it. We don't need to wear a stinking mask. Cough on me with COVID. Fine, whatever. I'll go out and do my own business. So we need to be strong in the Lord, not weak. And I'm tired of the weak Christians not wanting to do much of anything. Oh, I know what we can do with Jesus Christ as our Lord. So there you go. Another rant. See, I'm ranting today.
No, thank you so much, brother, and thank you so, yeah, like I said, thank you. You're speaking up when no one else wants to, so I thank you for that. I thank you for the wisdom you've offered today.
Wow, there's wisdom in that? Well, I didn't know. Okay, I stumbled on it then. Good. All right. Okay. God bless Kay. Okay. All right.
God bless you.
Okay. All right. Let's get to Scott from Utah. Scott from Utah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm ranting today.
Yeah. I just had a question. I've heard you talk different times about the not agreeing with the pre-tribulation, the post-tribulation. What do you actually see happening? Do you believe there will be a antichrist come on the scene, a new world government? And how do you see the prelude to Christ's return?
Well, okay, I'll give you my opinion, and just my opinion, and hopefully I'm wrong, but Jesus says when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? I think it's Matthew 18:22 or Luke 18:22, I forgot. The implication is that there's going to be an apostasy, and it does say in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 there's an apostasy coming, and 1 Timothy 4 it talked about the apostasy. What's going to happen is the Christian church will become apostate. Now, I believe that means the visible church, not the invisible church. The visible church is comprised of the people who go to church, not the ones who are really necessarily regenerate. That's the invisible church. So the visible church will become apostate. The Roman Catholic Church is already apostate, and the Protestants are moving that way as they adopt more and more heresies. And this is just the way it is. Okay. So because things are going to get so bad, Christians are going to become persecuted all over the world. The Antichrist is supposed to arise, new world government, basically out of Europe. Some think it might be an Antichrist out of the Middle East. Who knows? Christians will be persecuted more and more. And in my opinion, the wicked will be taken first before the good. And I can back that up, but we got a break right now. And when we get back, we'll talk some more about it. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Let's get back to Scott from Utah. Hey, Scott. You're back on the air.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Boy, I kind of ran out of time there. But I can list, if you want, the things that's going to happen from the Bible.
Yeah, I was just curious if you had something on your website.
Yep.
I hadn't heard you speak of, like, do you think that Christians will be killed
oh, yes.
for not taking the mark of the beast, and, mm-hmm. you know, is that what you see happening too?
Yes. Yep. There's an article on CARM. What are some of the signs of the end times? What are some of the signs of the end times? And so there'll be the presence of false Christs and false prophets. There'll be war, persecution of the faithful, apostasy. Lawlessness will increase, love will go cold, earthquakes, famines, plagues, increase in selfishness, lovers of self, money, and pleasure, arrogant, disobedient, mocking of Christ, an increase in knowledge, the rise of spiritism, the decay of marriage, the increase of false teaching. The gospel will be preached to the whole world, praise God. Signs in the heavens, sun and moon will be darkened, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Abuse and destruction of the earth and its resources. All the nations of the earth will be gathered against Israel. There will be the rebuilding of the temple, the arrival of the Antichrist, the enforcement of the mark of the beast, and repentance of Israel and the Jews concerning faith in Christ. So these are the things I've discovered, or found, whatever, if there's more, great, in the Bible, with the references, what it says. Okay?
Kurt, do you believe Christians will know who the Antichrist is? Yeah. I mean, we'll say, oh, this is who the Bible is talked about.
Yes, now people say, well, Bush was the Antichrist, then it was Clinton, and then it was, whoever, whatever. Now, the Antichrist most probably will be, he's going to have a wound to his head, it looks like, and maybe die and be resurrected, so to speak. And then he will unite people and then force a mark, we don't know what that mark is, to buy and sell. When these kind of things happen, Christians are going to know at that point. Because they'll say, so-and-so is an Antichrist. Well, the spirit of Antichrist is alive and well. And it's manifested in the papacy, for example, or in the hierarchy of the Mormon Church, or the hierarchy of the Jehovah's Witness organization. The spirit of Antichrist, which teaches Antichrist doctrines, so that people are damned. Well, it can happen at different levels in different ways. But the Antichrist will be an individual, most probably be a homosexual. He'll probably have the wound to his head, withered arm, withered right eye, and he will have a resurrected power. He'll be indwelt by the enemy, by Satan, and be a great communicator and highly intelligent, and he'll be able to unite people and force stuff together.
All right. Great. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, sir.
All right, man. Well, God bless. All right. Let's get to Julian from North Carolina. Julian, welcome. You're on the air. Julian. Are you there?
It's me. Oh, hi. It's me. It's my turn. Okay.
Can you turn off your speakerphone? Because it's hard to understand you.
Go. Oh, okay. I'm so sorry. I'd like to ask about go to the Israel trip.
Uh-huh. What about it?
No, I'd like to know how I can plan. I don't know how to plan to go.
Oh, okay.
I like to know the budget and the what and how can get together, like go with a group or go by myself.
The information, you go to the web, the information's at carmisrael.com. And there's
carmisrael.com.
C-A-R-M, CARM, that's Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, is my website. CARM Israel. C-A-R-M, Israel, I-S-R.
C-A-R-M.
C-A-R-M, Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L.com. All right. And so you just go for that, and all the information you need is there, and Eric Johnson is one heading it up. He can answer your questions. You can contact him. All right?
Okay. I will go try. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. All right. God bless.
Okay. Thank you all your kindness and all the helping us to know more Jesus Christ. I really appreciate it.
Oh. Man, that just warmed my heart.
Okay, bye-bye.
To know more about Jesus, that's right. Amen. All right. Oh, that did. It warmed my heart. I just love that. More about Jesus. Oh, yeah. That's great. Let's get to Clarice from North Carolina. Clarice, how are you?
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. Just a little bit of rants on the radio today. So what do you got?
Well, I just wanted to ask a question on the two books that you referred the girl earlier to mm-hmm. from
yes.
Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Sure. They
I would
are,
like to get those.
Yes. They're not very big either, which I liked. But one of them is, they're called Unreported Truths About COVID-19 and Lockdowns. That's what it is. Unreported Truths. And it's very well documented. Let's see, how big is this one? It's not very big. It's 21 pages, the first one. And I think the second one's about the same size. It has information from different countries. It's full of links, naval links, ons.gov.uk links. I'm just looking through epicentro.iss.it. This guy did a lot of research. And now I'm not saying we ignore all this, you know, the COVID stuff. No. We want to be careful. But how far is too far? And this book helps answer the question. So, there's a great little website called worldometers.info, which I learned about from there. Worldometers.info. You can check it out. It's got a lot of really neat stuff on it. Current world population, deaths, government economics, expenditure, society, statistics. I love statistics and information. Because 80% of the statistics are wrong 100% of the time. That's a joke. Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
Well, I thank you because I speak to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that they're getting enough of the good information and
right.
not be steered wrong.
That's right. It's tough to know. There's a lot of disinformation out there. In fact,
yeah.
you can go to that site I just said, worldometer.com, or mm-hmm. .info, excuse me, and I clicked on the coronavirus link, and it has graphs of the daily and daily deaths and daily new cases, and they're going down. And you can see. So,
mm-hmm.
It's called herd mentality. Here's a question I have. Why is it that we had chickenpox or polio pandemic, they didn't shut the economies down? How come they didn't do that?
Right.
Why would we do it for this?
Exactly.
And I've heard statistically that it's that the coronavirus is slightly more dangerous than the flu. And not as in it's negligible, don't worry about it. No, it's a serious thing. It's just that it is more dangerous, but not that much more. So why is it they had to shut everything down? What's going on? I ask questions. Why are they shutting everything down? Mm-hmm. Didn't do it before.
And if you can still quarantine yourself for 14
mm-hmm.
days,
mm-hmm.
What is still the big issue?
Yeah. Well, when my wife had COVID, she had it for a fever for 9 days. I had a fever for 1 day. It affects different people differently.
Mm-hmm.
We're both in our 60s. We just took hydrochloroquine. We took vitamin C. I have mega doses of vitamin C. I have a bag of just pure vitamin C. Mix it with a little bit of baking soda, equal parts, and drink it. It does something to the vitamin C, helps it get in your system. Drink, had zinc tablets and iron tablets. And, we did stuff. And when I get a flu or I think I'm getting something flu, I do the same thing. And, hydrochloroquine is a new thing, but I do the same kind of stuff. And I'm not trying to make light of all of this. It's a serious thing. But it seems to me that what's happening is a lot of power has been exercised to control societies, governments, reshape them, and violate our rights based on a virus, which the government here in America never did before. I just have the question, what's going on? Okay.
It's all about control.
It's about control. The Dems want control. I know that. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican, yeah. folks, but the Dems want control. They're opening the border so they can get people in so they can have more. They want to be. They want to keep their power permanently. They want to be in absolute control exactly. of our government. And so this is what I believe is one of the reasons they want to open borders. You know, we should have immigrants. We should just have it be here legally, according to our laws. That's all. Not open the borders, and they just flood in. Our country cannot sustain that. You know, I say yeah. to people, think of the analogy of your home. You know, the government says open up the borders, and then who's going to pay for it? Is it them? No, they get tax money, and they get to promote themselves and get raises and vote themselves raises. And it's the people on the border... Yeah. who have to deal with drug cartels and the flood of immigrants and vandalism and stuff. And I mean, you know, most of them are just people who want to just eat and have a better life. I don't blame them. But I say, compared to your home, how many people would you just open the door for to come on in before your home no longer is your home and your home no longer can be viable as a safe place or even function? So just use that analogy. Okay. All right. So much stupidity, so little time.
That's right.
That's right. All right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll get the last caller, okay?
Thank you.
All right, Clarice.
Thank you. I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's at least two people. I think my wife appreciates you a little bit, so that's good. All right. Well, she does when I open her bottles. I put bottles for her, then she appreciates me. All right, Clarice. God bless. Okay. All right, let's get to Jared from Indiana. Jared, welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was wanting to ask. I read a lot of scripture. I listen to a lot of things. I listen to you. I listen to a lot of apologists. I listen to a lot of Calvinists. I haven't grew up in a Calvinist mm-hmm. background. I understand where they're coming from, and I do agree with a lot of, or most, like 95% of what they say, but And what I like to listen, that's who I listen to most mm-hmm. of the time when I listen to preaching, because I think a lot of preaching is very shallow, just, you know, 30-minute right. sermons in and out. Uh-huh. I like the expansion on the scripture, but how does one adhere to, how do you get to one to say that they are a Calvinist besides adhering to the five solas? Because I don't,
five
I don't
solas
know that I do.
And the 5 points. And we're out of time.
Yeah.
Five solas and the 5 points. That means you're reformed. Can you call back tomorrow? We'll talk about it. Okay?
Good weather. Sure.
Okay. Love to talk
right.
about it. Sorry about that.
All right.
But
cool.
That'd be a good topic. Hey, folks, we are out of time. May the Lord bless you greatly this evening. Get on your knees. Pray. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.